All right, let's bring in Caitlin McGrath now. She covers the Blue Jays for The Athletic, and this has been a season unlike any other. And Caitlin, I'm most interested to start off with anyway. Now that the season is wrapping up, a couple of games this weekend to conclude the season, but the Blue Jays are headed to the playoffs. How you would summarize what it's been like to be a beat writer covering a team that is playing its games outside of the city? You haven't been to any of the actual games this year, but have still been providing coverage on a team and following it as this group has been able to come together and make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I think that it's been really interesting. It's kind of a different professional challenge for me. You know, what I've observed is that for me, I think I can still follow the team pretty good, and we do the Zoom chats every day. And so I know the nuts and bolts. I know who on paper is doing really well with this club. I know who's led them to, you know, a postseason berth. The one thing I'll say is that I think in years past, I just being around the team, going into the clubhouse, having more one-on-one conversations, having more casual conversations with players, as we typically do on the beat, you get to know more anecdotes, you get to know a little bit more personality, you kind of understand a little bit more about how the club got there, the little details that stick out to you. Those are things that I haven't really been able to get this year, at least not with the level of frequency and level of detail that I normally would in a traditional year. So that has been maybe the most challenging part of it. But I think overall, at least the Blue Jays, you know, it would have been hard to cover this team if they were very boring or if they were just having an awful season. So they've made it a little easier on me just being actually a competitive team and surprising some people and obviously getting themselves to this spot.
One of your recent stories at The Athletic is about Caleb Joseph, who is, I guess, the third string catcher, but has really carved out a role as a leader and as kind of, I believe it's the vibe coordinator on this team, as being a guy that has been kind of a big force for a relatively young team in a season that no one could have predicted, no one could have planned for. Are there other stories like that based on what you can surmise from this season and how this team got to battling through the point of getting to the playoffs and playing their games in Buffalo, where it wasn't linear, it wasn't straightforward for this group? What's the best way to describe sort of how this team was able to get to this point?
Yeah, I think it's been a real collective effort. I think if you look at kind of the narrative arc of this season, you can see at different points it was different players stepping up or different even areas of a team stepping up. So, you know, starting rotation was pretty good to start out with. The middle of the season, the bullpen totally carried them. They were so good in the middle of the season. So many of those guys also were just so impressive because they were young starters traditionally, guys like Tom Hatch, Ryan Borucki, Anthony Kay. They had only really started in the major leagues, or that was kind of the role that they thought they would have coming into the season previous to the pandemic. And they really made the best of their situation. They embraced the bullpen role. So that was a really cool storyline there in the middle. And then the lineup, they've had some pretty tough injuries to weather, and they've done that. You know, Bo Bichette went down for, I think, 27 games at one point, and the Blue Jays went on quite a roll when he was out, which was surprising because you look at the way he was hitting the ball to start the season, it seemed like it was going to be a disaster losing him. And they just had other guys step up. Randall Grichuk stepped up at one point. Teoscar Hernandez has had a great season. And then when he went down, Teoscar, other guys stepped up. So that's kind of been the vibe around the team, honestly. That's something they point to all the time, is just the fact that they really didn't get down on themselves. They didn't mope about anything, whether it was playing in Buffalo, having some tough injuries, all that kind of stuff. They just kept kind of rising to the occasion, meeting the challenges, making the best of the situation, and having some kind of key role players step up. And that's how they got themselves here.
Caitlin, the Blue Jays qualified for the playoffs the other night, but we are still waiting to see who they play. And with the expanded playoffs, I'm just wondering if you could sort of help us unpack the playoff format this year and specifically the wild card, which is traditionally a one game series, is now a three game series. So could you just walk us through where the Jays are and what they need to have happen to solidify who they're going to play in the wild card?
Yeah. So essentially the Blue Jays are still in play for the eighth spot, which they currently hold, or the fifth spot. And I know that's kind of weird. The Blue Jays can't move up to seven, but they can move up to five. So it's just a matter of how they kind of structured the seeding. So essentially the second best teams in each division have the four, five, and six spot. So if the Blue Jays were to overtake the Yankees, which they can do only if they sweep the Orioles, then they could end up fifth, and then they would play the fourth seed. They'd still be the lower seed in that scenario. The fourth seed isn't solidified. It'll probably be one of the central teams, but that is really clogged up right now between Cleveland, the Twins, and the White Sox. So we don't actually – a lot is up in the air. I'll put it that way. The most likely scenario would be the Rays, I think, if the Blue Jays end up being the eighth seed, which is kind of what we think, but you never know. And so then they would play the Tampa Bay Rays, and they would play a three-game series, like you said, and that series would be in Tampa. So I know there's going to be bubbling in this playoff, but not for the first round wild card series. So if you're the Blue Jays, that's a pretty tough matchup, right? You got the Rays, they're an excellent team. They're going to be probably going to end up first in the American League. And then you're playing at Tropicana Field, which we all know, or most of us know, that the Blue Jays have never played well there. So I think the Blue Jays are still kind of prioritizing rest right now. So they want to have some of the regular players rest because they're going to the playoffs. They know that. And they're not really too concerned about seeding because regardless of who they play, it's going to be a good team.
Caitlin, what's I think most impressive about some of the young players on this team, and I'm thinking specifically about Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio, is how they have really taken this experience and going back to last year. Obviously, Bichette comes on the scene late in the season, plays incredibly from the hop. Biggio got an opportunity a bit earlier in the season to carve out a role for himself at the big league level, but they managed to stay incredibly even keel. So it's not like this is an opportunity that's too big for them. But overall, what can be taken from this experience? As you said, they know that they're in the playoffs heading into the final weekend of the season. They've got at least one series to play against what looks like to be maybe the best team in the American League. What's the vibe with the team right now, and what are they looking most forward to in this experience?
I think that the vibe is still the vibe that they've almost had all year, and it's just that kind of chip on their shoulder. They're more confident than anybody gives them credit for. They think they're better than anybody gives them credit for. They know they might be the eighth seed, but they think they're better than being an eighth seed, and they don't want to fall into the trap of thinking they're an eighth seed, if that makes any sense. They kind of want to think that they're a better team. And they could be one of those dangerous teams where they come in hot, they've been playing well lately, and they've got nothing to lose. Charlie Montoyo, right after they clinched, had a big speech, and his one of the key points of his speech was pressure's off. Like, the pressure's off. We did it. We proved everyone wrong. We got to a place where people didn't think we'd get to. And now let's just go out there and have fun. So I think that the players, they're not just thinking about having fun. I think most of the players, they'll tell you they want to keep going in the postseason. They don't want this to just be like, a trip for experience. They want to win. From my perspective, though, I think either way, if they win or they just gain experience, it's going to be good for them, right? Like, this is not, I think it's fair to say that this is not what we expected. It's fair to say that the Blue Jays are ahead of schedule in terms of the contention of this franchise. So I think whatever lessons they learn, whether they're hard lessons, if they kind of look outmatched in the playoffs, or if they play really hard fought games and still lose or win or whatever, I just think it's all going to be a learning experience for them.
Caitlin McGrath, who covers the Toronto Blue Jays for The Athletic, joins us on air, Israel Fair and Alex Blair. Caitlin, I want to ask you about sort of the management and coaching staff. Charlie Montoyo was brought in, and I know one of the things that they really liked about him at the time was his work with young players. I'm just wondering if you could speak to the job that he's done this year with what was a promising but very young core. And I guess the second part of the question is the people that put Charlie in sort of place, as you will, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins. Everyone knows it's been sort of a frosty relationship since they came in and took over from Alex Anthopoulos. I'm just wondering, with this year, has the narrative and perception of those two changed within the Toronto marketplace?
So to answer your first question, with Montoyo, I think one of his greatest strengths is his patience and probably his positivity. And the patience for sure is helpful for a clubhouse like the Blue Jays because they're such a young clubhouse. And like you mentioned, he has experience working with young players. And he knows there's ups and downs when you're working with young players, right? He understands player development as best as anybody can. So that's why he's been a good person to be in charge of this team, because we know they're prone to mistakes, right? We know that they are a young team and they have flaws about them. They're not a perfect team by any means. And so I think another aspect of him is that he comes across really, really positive to us, and that's good to be that positive, I think, public facing. I don't know that there would be any benefit for him to come to the media and kind of rip his team if he doesn't need to, right? So that's something that he really is careful about doing. He has a really positive approach with us. But inside the clubhouse, you know, he's not, he is stern with them, I would say. You know, like if he's upset about something that they've done, or if they've been not physical errors, but mental errors, or if they're just plain sloppy, you know, he wants them to be a better team. He wants to bring the best out of them. So, you know, he will give them hard talks if they need it. But I think overall, he's very patient. And that is something that benefits this club. In terms of your second question with Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, you know what, in the time that I've covered this team, I kind of thought maybe if they succeeded, the narrative would change about them. I think that it's kind of going to be a little bit split either way. I just think there's some people that really didn't like the way that Shapiro and Atkins came in, whether it's fair or not. I think there's a lot of people that are still very attached to Alex Anthopoulos and what he was able to do with his team. You guys were talking about it off the top, but the 2015 and 2016, what that team was able to do, well, I guess 2015 was Alex Anthopoulos, but, you know, what that kind of time the franchise started, that kind of two-year run, and that was Alex Anthopoulos' move. People are still really attached to that. And so there's just some people that, you know, whether it's just the way that they speak, it's whether it's the way that they put together the club, some people just aren't fans of Atkins and Shapiro. But I will say, though, if the club is a kind of a contender from here on out, I do think people will warm to them a little bit. Or if not, maybe warming to their personality, they'll give them credit for building a winning team, right? They'll say, you know what, I don't maybe like the corporate speak that comes out sometimes, but they built a winning ball club, and we're happy with that.
Yeah, no doubt. Caitlin, we'll get you out of here on this. Heading into the playoffs, based on maybe how some of these players are playing and what you've seen from them recently, if there's fans that are going to be jumping on the bandwagon for the playoffs, maybe they've been watching the hockey or they've been watching the basketball, and now the Blue Jays are in the playoffs and they're invested, who's the key player that they should be watching for once the playoffs start next week?
Key player, I would say maybe two. I would say Hunjin Ryu.
I believe we've lost Caitlin there. Maybe she's back.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're back.
Okay. So I don't know if you heard, but I said Hunjin Ryu was probably going to be a key player for them. He's their ace. We don't quite know if he'll start game one or two, but, you know, whenever he starts, he's going to give them a chance to win, right? He's done that. He was on the mound when they clinched. He's been solid for them all year. He was obviously the huge offseason signing. It's kind of a signal to this club that we want to be contenders, and you need an ace if you want to do that, and he's done that all year. So I think he'll be a key guy to watch.
Yeah, it should be fun, Caitlin. I hope you get a chance to enjoy it a little bit, but I do know that it'll be an interesting challenge covering the playoffs from afar. So thanks a lot for the time. I know that you're quite busy right now, and enjoy these games as much as you can. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.